Continuing the story, Inferno by Dante, translated by Robin Kirkpatrick, we reach Canto 10. Onward along a secret path, confined between those ramparts and the shows of pain, my teacher led, and I was at his shoulder. "You," I began, "true power and height of strength, you bring me turning through these godless worlds. Speak if this pleases you, feed my desires. Those people lying in the sepulchres, what chance is there of seeing them? The lids are off already, no one stands on guard. These tombs," he said, "will finally be shut when, from Joshapath on Judgment Day, sinners bring back their bodies left above. This circle is a cemetery for all disciples of the Epicurus school, who say the body dies, so too the soul. The question, therefore, that you've put to me, once you're within, will soon be satisfied, so too the longing that you keep unsaid. I never would, my Lord, my trusted guide, keep, save for brevity, my heart from you, and brevity you've urged on me before. Tuscan, you go through the city of fire alive, and speaking as a man of worth, calm if you will, and rest in this domain. Your accent manifests that you were born a son of that great fatherland, on which perhaps I wreaked too harsh an injury." This sound so suddenly came ringing out from one among the sepulchres. Fearful, I shrank still closer to my leader's side. "What's wrong?" he said to me. "Just turn around and see there upright, risen. Farinata, from cincture onwards, you will see him whole." My gaze was trained already into his, while he, brow raised, was thrusting out his chest as though he held all hell in high disdain. My leader, hands in animated aid, drove me towards him down the line of vaults. He counselled, "Let your words be duly measured." So there beneath his sepulchre I stood. He looked me up and down a while, and then inquired half scornfully, "Who are your fair forebears?" I, always eager and obedient, concealing nothing, laid all plainly forth, at which he arched his brows a little more. And then, in fierce hostility, they stood against myself, my ancestors, my cause, and so on two occasions they were scattered wide. "Scattered," I answered, "so they may have been, but all came back from all sides then and now, and your men truly never learnt that art." Then there arose, revealed before my eyes, a shadow near the first, seen from chin up, which had, as I suppose, just risen to its knees. It looked me all around, as though intent on seeing whether with me was another. But when its doubting glance was wholly spent, weeping, he called, "If you through this eyeless prison pass on through height of intellect, my son, where is he, and why not here with you?" "I come," I said, "though not through my own strength. The man who waits there leads me through this place. No one, perhaps, whom your Guido scorned." "To one, perhaps, whom your Guido scorned." The way he spoke, and what he suffered too, had now already spelled for me his name. And that was why my answer was so full. Upright, suddenly, "What's that you say?" he wailed. "He once? You mean he's not alive? And are his eyes not struck by bony light?" And then, in noticing that slight delay which came before I offered my reply, he fell back flat and did not reappear. The other noble soul, at whose command I'd come to rest, in no way changed expression. He neither moved his neck nor bent his waist. but still continuing in what he'd said. "If," he went on, "they learned that art so ill, that is more torment than this bed of pain. And yet, no more than 50 times that face, the moon's, who is our sovereign here, will shine till you shall learn how heavy that art weighs. If you once more would gain the lovely world, tell me, how dare those burghers in their laws oppose themselves so viciously to mine?" My answer was, "The massacre, the mindless waste that stained the flowing Arbia with blood, led to our oratories to these demands." Sighing, he did now move his head. "In none of that," he said, "was I alone, and I would not, without good cause, have gone with them. I was alone where all the rest could bear to think that Florence might be swept away, and boldly stood to speak in her defence. Well, may your seed find sometime true repose. Untie the knot for me," I now besought, so tightly twined around my searching thoughts. "You see, it seems, to judge from what I hear, far in advance what time will bring to pass, but otherwise in terms of present things. We see like those who suffer from ill light, we are," he said, "aware of distant things. Thus far he shines in us, the Lord on high. But when a thing draws near to us, our minds go blank. So if no other brings us news, there's nothing of your human state is known to us. You will from this be able to deduce that all our knowledge will be wholly dead when all the doors of future time are closed." And then I said, as though my heart were pierced with guilt, "Go, say to him that fallen soul, his firstborn son is still among the living." And if before I answered I fell mute, I did so make him understand, because my thoughts, which you have solved, had strayed to doubt. By now my teacher had already called, and so with greater urgency I begged that soul that he should tell me who was with him there. "I lie," he answered, "with 1,000 more. Enclosed beside me is the second Frederick, Cardinal Octavian, too. Of others I keep silent." And then he hid, and I towards the great poet of the ancient world turned my step backwards, musing on words that seemed my enemy. He went his way, and as he walked he asked, "Why is it you're so lost in thought, so blurred by doubt?" And I responded fully to his words. "Keep well in mind, my lord," in wisdom said, "the things that you have heard against yourself. But now," his finger raised, "attend to this. When once again you stand within the rays that she whose lovely eyes see all things casts, you learn from her what your life's course will be." And then he swung to tread towards the left. We quit the wall and headed for the middle. The path we took cut straight into a gorge, and even from above the stench was foul. Canto 10 of Dante's Inferno. 34 cantos in all, we've reached Canto 10.